Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 96 degrees.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, June 1st, 2009, by Dr. James DeMayo, perhaps the foremost expert in the world on the subject of orgone energy. He's the founder of the Orgone Biophysical Research Lab in Ashland, Oregon. This evening, we will explore the work of the late Dr. Wilhelm Reich and his findings on the orgone energy, or life energy, which have been subjected to careful scientific scrutiny and evaluation, being verified and confirmed in their major aspects, even while his meticulous critics continue to ignore or distort his record of accomplishment and discovery. We'll consider three areas pertaining to orgone energy: as an energy source, as a method of weather manipulation, and as a health modality. We'll also discuss an upcoming conference on orgone energy, which you are welcome to attend. James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sterling. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's a pleasure. We have featured a new video that you put out at YouTube in our news yesterday, I believe it was. Very well done, about a 10-minute primer on the work of Dr. Wilhelm Reich. Very fascinating. And I've been following your work at a distance, so to speak, for quite some time, and we also did a story about your work a couple years ago, I believe. So it's nice to finally have you on and have a little more in-depth discussion about this very interesting subject.
Yeah.
Well, let's start out by talking about just kind of a lay of the land of what is orgone energy and who was Wilhelm Reich.
Well, Dr. Reich was originally a psychoanalyst, a medical doctor who was trained in psychoanalysis with Sigmund Freud in Germany, Austria, Vienna, and later in Germany in the 1920s and 30s. And he, you know, you wouldn't think that he would come to some point like the orgone energy from that, but this really was the product of a consistent following on the line of what Dr. Freud was calling the libido, which Reich viewed as a very real and concrete energy of life in the body. And I can't go into the details here because we just don't have enough time, but through a series of experimental and logical steps, Dr. Reich was convinced that this was a very real and tangible energy. And he documented in the human being bioelectrical currents in the body, which he believed were just, the bioelectricity was just a small aspect of a stronger energy force. And from there, he did microscopical research on microbes, showing that certain classes of microbes had a blue glowing energy field around them that you could see in the microscope. You could photograph it. This has been replicated many, many times by very good experts in microbiology.
Is that Carillion photography?
No, there's no electricity involved. It's using standard bright field microscopy. And if you just get, and you have to have the correct kind of lenses so that you catch the accurate color reproduction of what you see. For instance, a red blood cell, if you look at a red blood cell in the living state under a bright field in the microscope, it has a blue energy field around it. I've made pictures of these myself at our own laboratory. We've, you know, got a good microscope and we reproduced this particular aspect. I think one of the clearest representation of it is if you go to Yellowstone National Park and look in some of these great big hot pools of water with the hot boiling water coming up from deep within the earth, and the pools have a bluish glow which is from the special kinds of microbes that are found in these in nature. And these microbes come from extreme hot conditions deep in the earth. And this was something that Dr. Reich did also. He got these same kind of microbes from extreme heating of substances and boiling. So there's a, you know, he didn't even write about the hot springs. That's just something that I made an observation years later that there was a relationship there. So Reich was arguing from that there was this bluish glowing energy off of these certain classes of microbes, which he could actually see. You could feel the energy coming off of these culture tubes that he had. And I would draw a parallel again to hot springs. Those in the West here who've ever gone soaking in some of these hot springs, you know that there's an energizing health effect there that comes from just, it's more than just soaking in hot water. It's something in the water itself that produces a healing effect. And not many people know it, but back in the 1930s and 40s in the United States, all of these major hot springs across the United States had health spas and healing hospitals located right there, almost like Lourdes in France, where people would go with arthritis and rheumatism and other kinds of neuromuscular problems, and they would soak in these hot water springs, natural hot springs like the American Indians used to do, and they would find their symptoms relieved of diseases just by doing that. And the Food and Drug Administration came in the 40s and ordered them all to shut down. Ordered them, so you can't say any healing, you can't make any claims, and so a lot of these places just simply closed up as you had the ascent of hospital medicine as opposed to this kind of natural healing methods that used to predominate in the United States before the growth of that.
How did it go from the health aspects into energy and even weather modification?
Well, Reich, right before he left Europe and after he arrived in the United States, which was in 1939, he was escaping the terrible conditions in Europe at that time with the growth of the rise of Hitler's power. But once, at that time period, he developed a metal-lined enclosure, which he called the Orgone Energy Accumulator. And this device would gather the energy straight out of the atmosphere, and it would accumulate that energy stronger inside itself than what existed outside in the open atmosphere. And you could sit in these devices, and you could feel this energy as a radiation that would charge you up, and it would perk you up. People who were low energy, they would sit in these things for about a half an hour or an hour a day over some days, and, you know, their fatigue would lift. I know people today who have chronic fatigue syndrome, and they use the Orgone Accumulator, and it goes away within a matter of sometimes a couple of weeks, sometimes a couple of months of regular use of the Orgone Accumulator. There are other kinds of things that you can use the accumulator for, not only just health-related. It seems to have a generalized boosting of your immune system. But Dr. Reich also began working with different experiments on the Orgone Energy itself inside the accumulator, and finding that there were, you could document it in the sense that it created a higher temperature, it created a higher electrostatic density inside the Orgone Accumulator. You could slow down the discharge of an ordinary static electroscope. Reich was charging up Geiger counter tubes, finding that you could get them to change their reactivity depending upon the strength of the Orgone Energy inside the accumulator. So he was doing a whole variety of physics experiments. This was by the late 1940s and early 1950s. And from there, his research led, you know, since this energy was something that was out here in the atmosphere, he was observing that whenever you had rainy, overcast conditions, the strength of the Orgone Energy Accumulator would vanish. It would just stop. And the reason he eventually figured out was that the energy charge was being pulled up into the clouds. So when you had a rainy, overcast condition, the energy left the surface of the earth and went up into the clouds for the most part. And then when you have bright, sunny conditions again, then the energy would accumulate and charge up at the earth's surface once more. So this got him into thinking about the weather, and through some other experiments, he developed this device called the Cloudbuster, which is something that can be used to affect the weather over fairly large regions, if you know what you're doing. And that's something, very interestingly, in the 1970s, when I was a young student, I read Dr. Reich's work on all these things, and I was stunned. I just couldn't believe it, because it went against so much of everything I had been educated. But I felt the need. I really wanted to know what was going on here, and I talked a group of professors at the University of Kansas at Lawrence to allow me to do my graduate research, making a field investigation, an experimental study of some of these ideas of Dr. Reich, including the Cloudbuster device. And over a period of years, doing that work at the university there, basically proved the validity of the basic set of concepts that the cloud, you know, proved that the Cloudbuster actually did something to affect the weather over the state of Kansas. And, I taught for a few more years in the universities in the United States, at Illinois State University, later at the University of Miami, trying to move forward with this work, and it was just impossible, because you couldn't get any funding. Everybody thought it was crazy. And, you know, for every step forward I would make, I'd have to be constantly defending myself against attack by the irrational skeptic people in the university, who don't like anybody to do anything that's too far out in an unorthodox manner. So I've been working in my own private institute since about the middle 1980s to advance this work, and I've been applying it quite successfully.
Well, let me come back from break here in a couple minutes. I'd like to get more into, and maybe I don't quite understand, but I had thought there were also some actual energy harvesting capabilities. When I say energy, I'm not talking about health energy. I'm talking about electrical type of energy for running electrical appliances. If there's anything there that is practical on the horizon, or if that's still...
Yes. When your break is over, we can talk about that, absolutely. Or if you want, I can start right now. It's up to you.
Yeah, one thing, before we go to break, just really quickly, let's get your email, not your email, your website out there for your physical research lab.
Okay. Yeah, we have one major website. It is called, for the Orgone Biophysical Research Lab, which I direct, and that is orgonelab.org. I'll spell that as orgonelab.org. OrgoneLab.org.
And I noticed in your signature line, you've got a couple of other domains. What are those about?
Well, Saharasia.org relates to a book that I wrote, which is the summary of a seven-year research project I did at the when I was still a professor, which was the largest cross-cultural study of human behavior that has ever been done, using about 1,170 different cultures from the anthropological databases, and basically examining the effects of starvation and desert cultures upon human behavior. And that's a completely different subject. It's a very fascinating one. It goes back to some of Dr. Reich's original theories on the origins of human violence. And so that's the other major website. But they're all cross-linked. If you go to one, then you'll find all the others. So I would, just to make it simple, if people know about the orgonelab.org website, then they can access all the others. We also have a bookstore where you can buy books by Dr. Reich and some of my own publications as well.
Is that naturalenergyworks.net?
That's the Natural Energy Works company, and again, it's linked at the other website, too.
All right. Well, when we come back from break, let's talk about the energy as in electrical ramifications.
plug the scan gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The scan gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The scan gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Hey, it's Tim Conway Jr. here. Are you struggling with your credit cards? You owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and frustrated by the creditors and the collection agencies? Well, this program is the fastest way to eliminate debt with a very low monthly payment and paying back substantially less than you owe. Call this number right now and get yourself some relief. 888-85-BILLS, 888-85-BILLS, or check out the website, 85BILLS.com.
Didn't get a bailout for your business? Then try out this stimulus plan. The KFNX 2009 Advertising Stimulus Special. Ad packages starting at just $500 for 50 30-second primetime ads in your favorite talk shows. Your choice of Laura Ingraham, Neil Bortz, Lou Dobbs, and Dr. Laura. You'll also receive a free listing on the KFNX website. To stimulate your business, call the KFNX Advertising Department at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. That's 602-277-1100, extension 1463.
I really wanted to stop using drugs.
I tried to quit.
I kept trying to quit.
I kept trying to quit.
I kept trying to quit, but it was just a matter of time before I'd be loaded again.
I felt like a hopeless, useless failure.
And then I picked up the phone.
Narcotics Anonymous, 24-hour helpline, 480-897-4636.
I was at the end of the road.
You know where I couldn't keep living with drugs?
I couldn't keep living with drugs.
And I thought I couldn't keep living without them.
Then I found NA.
Narcotics Anonymous, 24-hour helpline, 480-897-4636, or visit us online at arizona-na.org.
Free energy now.
Sterling Allen coming back at you. We're talking tonight on the Free Energy Now show with Dr. James DeMayo, a foremost expert on the subject of foregone energy. Been talking about the work of Dr. Wilhelm Reich, who was kind of the father of the field, and how he came up with this stuff. And we said when we came back from break, we were going to talk about how this relates to electricity. We've been talking about energy as in health and the health of the energy of the body. And I should mention quickly, when I was a graduate student, I did some studies in bioelectrochemistry, where I was looking at the interaction of the electrical components of the body and externally applied electrical fields, trying to maybe augment the body's natural processes through external stimuli. And the upshot of all that was I found a lot more enlightenment in the woo-woo area, you know, people that are doing Reiki and things like that, than any kind of device you can make with a machine. The body, from one body to another, you get much better conveyance of the right energy to another human being than from some machine that you make out of electrodes. So let's get back to the subject of foregone energy as it relates to electricity.
Yes. Well, I guess one theoretical point I should make that will help people to understand what orgone energy is would be to reference the 19th century concept of the ether of space. The old ether of space idea is very much like the orgone energy, because we're talking about something that fills all space. It exists even when all of the air has been evacuated, so you can charge vacuum tubes up. It is roughly similar to what is sometimes called the zero-point energy in a high vacuum tube. Dr. Reich was pumping tubes down to nearly no air and then 0.5 micron and showing energetic effects in these high vacuum tubes. In fact, he would charge them up with orgone energy, and they would exhibit properties that they wouldn't exhibit normally in just an ordinary vacuum tube would. So that's he was doing experiments along these lines, and in part experimenting with radioactive substances and getting anomalously high counts from a Geiger counter from a special Geiger tube that had been charged up inside an orgone accumulator. So in other words, that the density of this ether-like continuum was concentrated inside the Geiger tube charged up inside the orgone accumulator, so its reactivity to the natural background radiation was increased. Now, that's an experiment I've replicated at our own laboratory, and I've taken special kinds of Geiger tubes and charged them up, and we can get them to go up to several thousand counts per minute from ordinary background when normally you'd only get, 10, 20, 30 counts per minute.
In other words, to put it in lay terms, something that is radioactive, so to speak, put inside of the orgone accumulator actually gives off more radioactivity. In other words, it breaks down. The radioactivity is a function of a logarithmic gradual decay, and it speeds up that decay rate.
Well, that's another set of experiments. Reich actually charged up some radioactive material in a stronger orgone accumulator and was able to change some of its properties. But there's a more basic experiment of simply charging up the Geiger tubes inside of an orgone accumulator, and they will begin to give you high counts per minute just from ordinary background radiation. And that gives you the concept of an energy source. In fact, the old style Geiger counters that Dr. Reich was using, he was able to show that the pulses were coming in so fast and quick that he figured a way to make an electrical circuit to where that would turn a motor. And this was something that he later called the orgone energy motor. And he actually had a series of experiments on this where he was able to run a small motor directly from the orgone energy without any background source. I think he used a small little D-cell type battery, sort of like to prime the pump. Once he got it going, then it didn't need it anymore. But this is a set of experiments that a lot of people are trying to follow up on, but like so many other things in the free energy field, it's some of the detail is lost, some of the essential detail is lost to history, and nobody really, in my opinion, has solved that riddle yet, but I think we're just beginning to investigate it in a real way. I think you know that some of Dr. Reich's materials were locked away for 50 years by his desires in his will, and that material only became available last year. So, a lot of it is in German language, so it's a challenge. It's not like you can just go in there and find some schematic and figure out how to do things.
What's been your access to that material?
Pardon?
What has been your access to that material?
Well, I've gone to the Reich Archives last year, which is at the Countaway Library at Harvard University, and you have to apply to get in because they don't just let anybody walk in the door and take a look at this stuff. So you have to apply and set up an appointment with the archive, and they're very helpful. They make it all available to you, and you sit there and can review the materials, the original stuff. So we're looking into some of that here, but there's only a limit of how much experimental work you can do when you're not getting any kind of support. So we've done a number of experimental replications of Dr. Reich's things, but the orgone motor is not one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
Anyway. Let's talk for a second about your phrase "we." How big is this field? How often do you have conferences? You do have an upcoming conference. What's that about? Do you have any journals? Just give us an idea of the field internationally.
Yes. I would say that, first of all, the largest number of people who follow up on Reich's work are medical doctors applying his orgone therapy. And this is both the emotional release work for healing purposes as well as a smaller number of people applying the orgone energy accumulator. And some of those doctors, they're treating very serious degenerative illness like cancer and so on. And they get a pretty good success rate. And it's not so well known because trying to get a publisher to publish books on this is nearly impossible. I know that from personal experience. A lot of my books are self-published. I have a book called The Orgone Accumulator Handbook that goes through the basic discovery and principles, and we self-published that, and it's been a reasonably successful book. We have this conference on new research in orgonomy that is going to be held here at our research center this August, in August 1st and 2nd. And that's open to the public. It's hard to say how many people will come. Usually it's somewhere like 30 people. But we're in a fairly remote area. If we're making demonstrations of the Orgone Energy itself, we need laboratory space in order to do that. So I like to, it's nice when we hold the conferences right where we can show people some of the equipment, which isn't necessarily possible if you're going off to a conference in a larger city. There's a journal that we publish called Pulse of the Planet. And we've got five basic issues. They're like small books, really, with experimental papers by doctors and PhDs and experimenters from around the world. It's a fairly international group of people I would consider to be very top-notch. They're mostly professionals with advanced university degrees. Some are professors, some are physicians working in hospitals.
When we come back from the bottom of the hour, let's talk more about this upcoming conference.
Okay.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com. KFNX.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. The Pentagon joins the search for that Air France passenger plane missing after a flight over the Atlantic. But CNN's Brian Todd says they're going to need some luck.
It's going to be a daunting task just to find the rough area where this plane has gone down because it's such a massive area that they have to search. It is called the Intertropical Convergence Zone. It's essentially where the North Atlantic meets the South Atlantic off the coast of Brazil. They're a little bit north of that peninsula.
Is your neighborhood safer than it used to be? The FBI reports another decline in the nation's violent crime rate. If you have a GM parked in the garage, you may find it a little more difficult to get it serviced. Some GM dealerships going to be closing as part of the company's bankruptcy filing. David Goldman's five-year fight to get his son back from Brazil may soon be over. A Brazilian court is now ordering that the eight-year-old boy be returned to his father in New Jersey. The boy's Brazilian mother died last year. This is CNN Radio.
Starting out that month of June, and of course that means temperatures will be on the rise. Still about 102 tomorrow, but as we move through the middle of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll see temperatures rise to near 105. Drier air, no rain in the forecast. Jim Al, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 91 degrees.
Log on and listen to IMUS in the Morning. IMUS in the Morning. Only on 1100KFNX.com.
Log on and listen live.
Start your day right. Don't miss IMUS in the Morning, right here on KFNX.
There are predators lurking in the West Valley at the Wildlife World Zoo. Creatures so rare they've never been seen anywhere else in Arizona. Three of the world's rarest reptiles, the albino alligator. See them every day at Wildlife World Zoo, the home of Arizona's largest collection of exotic, endangered, and rarest animals. State Route 303 and Northern Avenue in the West Valley. Visit wildlifeworld.com or call 623-935-WILD.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
In today's housing market, do your homework. Don't take chances. Talk to a certified mortgage planning specialist. Wednesday at 4 p.m., it's the Velocity of Money with host Michael J. Barnes, principal of Velocity Financial. Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah. energy now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live. 866-536-1100. We're broadcasting from KFNX 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona. International show. We get most of our audience through the archives at freeenergynow.net. Tonight, we're talking with Dr. James DeMayo, a world-renowned expert on orgone energy, and they have a conference coming up in August. Let's talk about that conference, James.
Sure. It's as the title is, it's new research in the field of orgonomy, which is Dr. Reich's term for the science of life energy functions in nature. And so this is a very interdisciplinary conference. It covers, we have speakers from the United States, Italy, England, from all over the world. We get our speakers, and they're speaking on subjects ranging from anthropology and Reich's early studies on human emotion to the questions of the cancer process as delineated by Dr. Reich, the orgone accumulator in the treatment of diseases, the physics of the orgone energy accumulator, the atmospheric orgone energy, the cloud busting method, and just a whole wide variety of subjects. And this is all basic new research. The effects of cosmic energy on chemical systems is the title of one paper, which relates to the work of another scientist named Giorgio Picardi, who is a sort of a contemporary of Reich, who was doing very similar work in Italy at the time when Reich was working in the United States. So, again, I want to emphasize this energy that Dr. Reich discovered, the orgone. It has parallels in modern science. Even the concept of dark matter, this mysterious something, I think is a bit of a confusion for they're detecting this very same life force that permeates the cosmos, and they just don't know it. So our conference is going to have speakers that will address that whole ball of wax on with this main central theme of Dr. Reich's discovery of the orgone energy, of the life energy.
Do you find that there's some confusion in the field as to people calling it one thing when it's another? For example, when it's something we don't know where the energy is coming from, but apparently it's coming from somewhere. For example, a magnet motor, how does that thing spin?
Yeah.
We're doing a survey right now on our website where we ask, what do you think about the possibility of a magnet motor? 18% say it's impossible, but 5% say they've seen one or built one. And another, about 5 or 4% say they know somebody who's seen or built one that they trust. And then there's about 53% say they are quite sure that it's possible. This energy is coming from somewhere, and people like to, maybe a scapegoat name, so to speak. Sometimes they say zero-point energy, orgone, ether. Do you find that there's some confusion there, or do you think that when they all come down, we'll actually find a lot of these are actually the same energy source?
Well, I think it's the example of if you have 10 blind scientists in a room with an elephant. You've heard this example before. One
sure.
is grabbing the trunk, another one is grabbing the tail, another one has the hold of the leg, another one is rubbing the stomach, and they're all describing something that's quite different, but in reality it's one and the same basic phenomenon. So I think it's understandable in the sense that if you think of the old ether theory, which I think was prematurely discarded in the early 1900s, it was claimed to have been proven not to exist, which is a scientific illogic because in science you can never prove the non-existence of something. You can only prove the existence of something. But at any rate, there you have got all these different people coming into the same arena from completely different directions. And, of course, they're describing what they're seeing according to terms that they already know. And that's understandable to some extent, but I prefer, my sense is that Dr. Reich had it correct, that it's a basic new phenomenon that really wasn't quite understood in prior centuries, and it is a real life energy. It's something that fills all space, it's pulsatile, it underlies weather and biological functions, probably geophysical as well, such as earthquakes and things like this are related in some way. And
let me ask you, when you're studying this field, it would seem like the field would be populated more by the intuitive type than the analytical type. Do you find that to be true, or when it comes to the actual science of this, is it?
Well, I think to study this kind of thing, you have to kind of have both. I mean, the intuition is a really important tool in scientific investigation, and I think all of you really good scientists have a good, strong, and intuitive faculty. But you've also got to have the analytical side, because you know, it takes a combination of intuition and analysis, insight, and trying to objectively determine what's going on. Otherwise, you can spend a lot of time thinking your theory is perfect, and if you don't ever subject it to testing or experiment, you know, you can go round and round and waste a lot of time. So I think your better scientists are the ones who integrate both. And I'm pleased to note most of my colleagues who study the orgone energy are people who do have a sense of both of those needs for the most part.
Your upcoming conference in August, is that a one, two, how many days is that?
It's a weekend, August 1st and 2nd, which is Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it's in our location, which is at the Orgone Biophysical Research Lab, which is in the mountains east of Ashland, Oregon. We've got a high-altitude research lab here. It's about 4,300 feet elevation in the middle of the pine forests. Beautiful location. And what we find is that when we build orgone accumulators up at this high-altitude location, that the strength of the charge is quite exceptional. And we can get effects here that you can't so easily obtain at lower altitudes. This was something that Dr. Reich also noted in his own laboratory, which is called, which he called Orgonon, and it's located in Rangeley, Maine, and is now a museum. And that museum, by the way, is also having a conference in July at the Wilhelm Reich Museum in Rangeley, Maine, and everybody should, who's interested in this field, might consider to go there as well. This is a great education too.
Now, when you talk about earlier, you mentioned that cloud cover seemed to act as a decoy almost for the energy. It comes out of the accumulator and up into the clouds.
Well, if you think of a living organism that's a high charge system. And or the orgone accumulator, it builds up a high energy density inside the organism. You have electricity in your body. You have motion. You have dynamism. Think of a cloud. It's the same way. It's got electrical charge. It's got a lot of movement and activity. And you know, in some ways it has a lifelike quality to it. It pulsates like in terms of, you can look at the tops of big thunderstorms. And they give you this sense of a fractal pattern that looks like a brain tissue or cauliflower or something like this. I mean, there are philosophers of natural science who have written books on the similarities of living structures and non-living nature, such as Darcy Thompson's work on growth and form, where he talked, or Victor Schauberger, with the spiral forms of nature and in the living and the non-living world. And Schauberger, of course, went in to try to develop some kind of a motive force out of this as well. And a lot of the people who are doing this kind of life energy research, or if they call it something different from life energy, but they have very similar kinds of approaches and descriptions of what's going on. So I see a similarity of function between the living organism and this and the non-living world in this context as being animated and energized by this underlying medium or continuum of energy that permeates all of existence. And
on our website we have a page about harnessing the energy of lightning. People who have tried various approaches there, some pretty clever things that have been tried, but of course that's still far off. As you're talking, the thought strikes me, and I'd just like to bounce this off you, do you think it's possible that somebody from your field would be ideally suited to understand the dynamics and mechanisms of cloud-ground interactions and actually come up with a plausible mechanism whereby you could track a lightning storm to a particular energy gathering system and be able to gather it without destroying your mechanism?
Yeah, that's a risky experiment, isn't it?
and the experimenters.
Well, I could give you a little bit of an insight there. I think the trick is not so much tapping into the thunderstorm itself, but into the mechanism that builds the thunderstorm.
Okay.
So, for example, under clear weather conditions, you've got this enormous electrostatic potential of several hundred thousand volts between the ionosphere and the surface of the Earth. And the way it works out, it works out to be several hundred volts over a small distance of elevation. And there are people who have worked out very workable electrostatic motors that work off of merely an antenna and an earth ground. And maybe you know of the work of Dr. Oleg Jefimenko, he used to be at West Virginia University, who developed all kinds of electrostatic motors that ran off of this, just an earth field antenna and an earth ground. And I think he got them up to about an eighth of a horsepower, which is not a whole lot, but it's a heck of a lot more than anybody else has done, as far as I know.
Do you think if there was a mechanism whereby you could shield or augment this energy that you would not have the effect where the cloud cover diminishes the accumulator because you have a shielding mechanism? Are people making ground-breaking or making inroads on that particular area?
Well, I would have to say if they are, they're not talking about it. You know, this is a field that was subjected to a real hit early in its development. As you know, Dr. Reich was attacked by the Food and Drug people, and they burned all of his books and threw him into prison, and he died in prison. And it's a terrible tragedy, and constituted the start of a threat against United States constitutional protections of free speech and freedom of the press in a much more dramatic way than the better known Scopes monkey trial. And most people don't even know about the Reich case, but the problem for us who do scientific research is if you go to the average academic in the universities, you ask, well, who is Wilhelm Reich? You're going to get a sneer, you're going to get a laugh, and they'll start talking about all the wrong things that they've heard from these malicious newspaper and smear articles that have been written over the years. Which denigrate him and tell a bunch of lies that were really originated back with the skeptic groups and the Food and Drug Administration people.
When we come back from break, I'd like to get into the weather manipulation or augmentation aspects of the ozone accumulator and the cloud. I can't remember what you called it, not a cloud buster, but a cloud. Anyway, let's get into that when we come back from
sure.
this last break.
Thank you. I plugged the scan gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The scan gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The scan gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Preaching, teaching,
and nagging. It's Dr. Lord.
If you want him to hit delete on your life, don't go.
And that's,
it's as simple as that. No, don't argue with me. Don't give me any more story.
No, because that's why I wanted to.
Are you having trouble with the English language?
Dr. Laura.
But I have heard you tell other callers that you should...
I am talking to you. If there were only 5 answers, I wouldn't have to be here every day for 3 hours.
You could just call and press the number.
The Dr. Laura Program, middays at 1.
I'm not comfortable with this. I think Jason should go to college now. I don't want him putting this off. He's already talked to a recruiter. Could you just talk some sense into it?
I understand, but I think if you just listen to him, you'll see his decision makes a whole lot of sense. He wants to go to college right now, but he also wants to serve. That's why he's been talking to a National Guard recruiter.
The National Guard gives young men and women the unique opportunity to serve their country and communities part-time while they attend college.
You know, we've also got to figure out how we're going to pay for all this. The way things are these days, tuition, room and board, they're through the roof. And with our finances...
No, honey, don't worry. He's worked that out with the Guard recruiter, too.
Plus, with the National Guard scholarship and other financial benefits, college students can graduate debt-free. Get to know what serving in the National Guard can do for your son or daughter. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Free energy, now!
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. We're talking tonight with Dr. James DeMayo. He's a world leader in the field of orgone energy. And one of the things that we've not gone into yet, other than just touching on it, is how Dr. Reich was able to affect weather, manipulate weather with these devices. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. This actually was something I did my master's thesis on at the University of Kansas back in 1979, and it was a very interesting 2-year study where I built one of these Reich Cloudbusters following the original plans. And again, this is not to be confused with some of the crazy stuff that's on internet, which I think is terribly wrong. What they call the chembuster and organite type stuff. I mean, there's a lot of distortion of Reich's ideas on the internet. But when I was at the university, I took Reich's original plans and protocols, and we put them into an experimental program, and we got results that showed this thing worked. And it's basically a system of long tubes, which are grounded. Earth grounded, and there's a few other things which I don't want to talk about publicly, but when this thing is aimed at specific compass points, it will stimulate the flow of energy into your area, and by the flow of energy, what I mean is basically your jet stream phenomenon. It will stimulate jet stream movement and activity, which every meteorologist will tell you is a fundamental thing, at least for mid-latitude weather systems. So Dr. Reich wrote quite a bit laying out the details on how to do this and what the principles and the parameters were. And we tested them out at the university, and it proved that it worked. And at one point, the university there was very supportive, and the people were enthusiastic. But the powers that be in Washington came down on us all like a ton of bricks. I remember the university was told, either you stop supporting that crazy guy DeMayo, or we're going to cut off funding to every single project in the whole university that we are funding. That came from the National Academy of Sciences as a very clear threat. So my program was canceled. My research program was canceled, and I went on to do other things. So I, you know, that was a very sad time for me. But the other work I did is this Saharasia work, which I you know, can't talk about because it's completely different. But it's also very valuable work. And I went on to do this the cloud busting research privately through my own nonprofit, which I founded shortly thereafter. And since then, I've been invited by governments overseas and by interested individuals to apply this technology against very, very severe droughts. And so, for example, in the early 90s, I went to Israel on the invitation and permission of the Israeli government with private money from a foundation for the expenses. And we ended a three-year drought. They had a drought for 3 years, their worst drought in recorded history, with rains over that rainy season, which broke all of their records for 100 years going back.
So well, that's
they had
pretty good.
An immense amount of rain. It was much more than I figured. And for a while, we were a little alarmed at it at first, but it turned out to be a real boon to their agriculture and economy, washed out all the salts in the soil, and quite a dramatic effect. In which the main meteorologist began to say, well, this had nothing to do with the cloud busting, it was the effect of Mount Pinatubo. So they credited Mount Pinatubo, a volcano erupting on the other side of the world 6 months earlier, for this very specific and localized downpour of rain in the eastern Mediterranean. But, I mean, that's just one example. We had another project in Namibia with a similar drought-breaking effect. And the most ambitious project I've ever done was it was a five-year project over five summers, privately organized but sponsored, funded, and with the help and permissions of the Ministry of Agriculture for the state of Eritrea, which is a little African nation on the coast of the Red Sea, right up next to the Sahara Desert. And they were suffering from basically a 30-year drought cycle of very low rains, and we were invited there by, actually it was the son of the former Italian ambassador to Eritrea, who learned about Reich when he was a young man, and wanted to help the country, so they contacted me, and I went there, and we set up a project over 5 years, and we basically doubled their rainfall for each of those 5 years for the summertime rainy period that they have, which is a fairly short rainy season. And then they got into a shooting war with the Ethiopians, and unfortunately, I pulled the plug on the project. I didn't want any of my people getting killed. So, I mean, we had a whole team of people, which I was the director of it, very good, decent people everybody volunteered their time, basically, and we went and did this proof of concept project where we literally proved you could green the deserts of the Sahara with this technology if it is supported. And we had exceptional good support for that period of time from the top levels with the officials in the Ministry of Agriculture in Eritrea, all very decent guys and women, very helpful people. But it was a real tragedy. They went back to war with the Ethiopians, and since then I haven't been back to Africa for quite a while.
A question I would come up with, and we may not have time because I want to spend the last little bit talking about your institute, what you do with there. But what would happen if this technology was embraced, and now you have people all over it. Are you going to have, similar to where you have water shares, are you going to have cloud shares where one area
is
stealing all the clouds from another area?
Well, this is a real problem. I mean, you don't want to see it fall under the most crass of commercial development. It's clearly would prompt a crisis in the international relations because every nation would scramble to try and do something, and most of them wouldn't have a clue as to what to do. I mean, it's a fairly specialized bunch of knowledge, and not everybody knows what they're doing.
Maybe a technology for a more enlightened society. Let's talk about your institute. What do you do there?
Well, I founded the Orgone Biophysical Research Lab originally to give me money for my experiments. It's a non-profit, so we thrive and survive only on donations. So if people wanted to help our work, that certainly is helpful. But what I do is it's basically funding my work and the other people who come into my circle, so to speak, and help out. We do publishing, research, writing, holding seminars, a whole variety of things.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been great talking to you. Again, you can talk to James DeMail, Ph.D. You go to his website at orgonelab.org. That's orgonelab.org.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Air France says...